Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Gimel. Yuma Ayin Gimel. We left off Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Five lines up from the bottom of the page. First word on the line, Maisa Reikim. So we didn't quite get to two dots. We're just going through different Gemaras, different taitches in the Psukim. Kind of more of an Agadah Gemara, right? About the different ideas of being involved with Torah being Samachayim. For the right people use the wrong chalila, Sama Mavis. The end of that really Agadah Gemara does get back to Big Yiktuna. We left that for today. Says the Gemara, Maisa Reikim. What does Munna discuss is the cloths that were used in the Mishkan? It says Maisa Reikim, and it says Maisa Cheshev. Reikim is a lashon of embroidery. Cheshev is a lashon of a designer. What does it mean? Amar Blazer, Shereikmin b'makav shecheshvin. It means they would embroider the cloth where they had already marked the design. So basically they would draw out a design on the cloth, and then they would embroider the cloth based on the design that was previously illustrated. Tanish Meidur of Nechemiah, a little bit of a different pshat in these psukim. What's the chiluk between Reikim and Cheshev? Reikim is needlework. The fikach parts of Echad. Reikim is needlework, which the designs are on one side as well. The designs are going to be onto one side as well. Whereas Cheshev Maisa Oireg, Cheshev is the weaver's work. The fikach shnei partzufos. Therefore, it's going to have two faces, so to speak. It'll be on both sides. It comes through and through on both sides of the cloth. So that's the difference between Reikim and Cheshev. Reikim is on one side, and Cheshev is on two sides. Be'elon Hashalom, we said that in the Mishnah, when the Kohen Gadol was dressed in these eight begadim, the various people, the king, the head of Sanhedrin, the Meshuch Mechama, can consult him with the Urim V'Tumim. We'll see more about that in this upcoming daf about the Urim V'Tumim, but he could be consulted as the Urim V'Tumim when he's wearing the Shperna Begadim. Kiyasar Avdimi, Amar Avdimi came, he said as follows. Begadim, Kain Gadim, Meshamish Bam, Meshuach Mechama, Meshamish Bam. We're right at the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Ayin Beis Amud Beis, 72B. We're right at the bottom of the page. We're at the second to last line of the page. That the Begadim, that the Kain Gadol wears normally, seven Begadim, the Meshuach Mechama also wears, I'm sorry, the eight begadim. Meshuach Mechama also wears those eight begadim. Shenemar v'gdei kodesh ashal aron yu levanav achrav. It says, v'gdei kodesh ashal aron should be levanav achrav. Levanav typically is achrav. Whose children come before them? Obviously, children come after me. After says Rashi, achrav is superfluous, it's extra. What does it teach me? It teaches me, l'misha babagdul achrav. The one who comes in greatness after the kain gadol, you have the kain gadol, and you have Meshuach Mechama, the high kain, who's in charge of leading the country, leading the ilam at war. So that is the position that comes after Kohen Gadol, and he also has Big Day Kodesh, as the Pasuk says, Big Day Kodesh, Eshes Harel Aaron, Ulevanav Achrav, Vidash Achrav, to mean the Achrav means the Meshuach Mechama. Masrav Ad Rava, so you're telling me that the Meshuach Mechama wears Shemayna Begadim. Asrav Ad Rava, Amilah Kadi, some say it's Kadi, some say it was nameless. This author asked the question, he's anonymous. Yachol Yeh B'nai Shal Meshuach Mechama Meshavish Tachtav. I might think that the B'nai of the Meshuach Mechama should take over Tachtav. Kiderech Shev B'nai Shal Kohen Gadol Meshavish Tachtav. This is an idea that we've spoken about in the past, that the Kohen Gadol's son, assuming obviously fit for the position, if he's fit for the position, he takes over. It's based on a pasuk. He takes over in Vayikra. He takes over for his father. So I would think that the same process goes for the Meshuach Mechama as well. That when he leaves the position, his son takes over. Says the Gemara, Tap of Ayin Gimel Nal Talmud Leimar. David the pasuk says Shivas Yam Miel Bashem Hakoyin Tachtav Mebanav Asher Yavai El Ayamayit. In the pasuk where it discusses that. Sorry, the pasuk says, there's actually a pasuk in Shemais, where it says for 7 days that he should wear the begadim, the one who serves in his place from amongst his sons. So it says over there, Asher V'Elamayed, we darshan, Mishiroi Lavi Elamayed. The one who goes to Elamayed, namely Elamayed over here, is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rashi Tab Rashi says, we're talking about the Chapirim Kippurim. The one who goes to Elamayed often can mean the Heichel, or can mean the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Over here, we're focused on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the Kohen Gadol who goes strictly on your Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're saying the one who goes into the Elamayed, into Kodesh HaKadoshim, his son takes over for him. The one who doesn't go to Elamayed, the one who's not fit to go to Elamayed, namely the Meshuach Mechama, his son will not take over. So we're limiting the scope that the Meshuach Mechama does not have that same succession plan that his son takes over as we have by the Kohen Gadol because he's not fit to go into Elamayed. Ask the Gemara, why is he not fit? But according to what Rav Dimi said that the Meshuach Mechama also wears eight begadim. If Meshuach Mechama wears eight begadim, he should also be fit to go to five of them. He should also be fit. He's theoretically fit to do that avodah. Says the Gemara, Michsi Chaz Zichari is fit. Asks the Tosfos Yishanim, I think it is. Asks Yishanim. That, sorry, not that I forgot where I saw this question, but they bring in the notes, that L'chaira, maybe there's two dinim. Yes, the Kohen Gadol is a one who wears Shemayna Begadim. It's pretty ironic, actually. When he goes to five Elfanim, he doesn't wear Shemayna Begadim. When he goes to five Elfanim, we've been focusing on the Masechta, he wears only four Begadim, only the Big Day 11, when he goes specifically to five Elfanim. But yes, it's understandable that the one who wears Shemayna Begadim normally, namely the Kohen Gadol, he's the one that goes to five Elfanim. Great. But who says Meshach Muhammad, even according to Ravdimi, that he wears Shemayna Begadim, who says that he is able to go to five Elfanim? Maybe that's also still Din Kain Gadol. You need to be both Kain Gadol and Shemayna Begadim. Not enough to be Kain Meshuach Melchama and Shemayna Begadim. Agamar is taking for granted that according to Rav Dini, at the Meshuach Melchama, wear eight Begadim, he's also Roy Lovay B'Fnai Elfanim. And even the Gemara's answer, the Gemara doesn't fall off that assumption, which is a little bit of a kasha. Why is that so pasha? But okay, says the Gemara, you're right. The Meshuach Melchama is taka potentially fit to go Elfanim, but that's certainly not his ikar tafkid. And when we read the pasuk, we say the succession plan for the one who goes to Le'el Mayed is the one whose job is to go to Le'el Mayed. That's his ikar job. Kain Gadol, as part of his regular job, as opposed to Meshuach Melchama. So the Kain Gadol, he has that succession plan with his son, as opposed to the Meshuach Melchama, but it's no longer kasha. And Avdim, he says the more inside. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachikamar Heze, you read that memra, Kol She Ikar Meshichasei Lo'el Mayed. Whoever's ikar Meshichasei, his main purpose of being anointed, is that he now has that power, that he's able to go, not that he goes every day. Obviously, we spoke actually that Aaron HaKayim was able to go every day according to the Gain. That's why he's the Pesukim HaKayimahs. Other Kayim Gedalim were only able to go on Yom Kippur. But the point is, his status as Kayim Gadol is such that his job is to go on Yom Kippur and do the Laveda. Meshuach Bechama, even if you're saying he could, it's really not his Iker. It's not his Iker Meshicha. Says the Gemara. V'yatzazeh she'iker Meshichas l'mechama. The Meshuach Bechama, his Iker is from Mechama, and therefore he doesn't get that same succession plan that his son takes over from him. Okay, but again, our main focus is not on the son's taking over. Our main focus on Rav Dini's memra, and Meshuach Melchama would wear Shemayna Begadim. That's Rav Dini's memra. Meshuach Melchama would wear Shemayna Begadim. So far, we asked one question on it. We seem to have a proof that he does, and we said, no, not a proof. Maybe he does, but it's not his ikker, and therefore you don't have the din that the son takes over. You have no raya that din that applies by Kohen Gadol should apply by Meshuach Melchama. Next question on this din: Rav Dini's din is that the Meshuach Melchama wears eight begadim. Meisvei. Meshuach Melchama in Meshamish Leibarba B'Kain Kain Edit Leibishmei Kain Gadol. Meshuach Melchama does not wear four begadim like Kain Edit. He doesn't wear the regular four, nor does he wear eight like a Kain Gadol. Right, but the point for our question is: Rav Dimi says he wears eight. Clearly, this brisa is saying he doesn't wear eight. L'chari, this brisa is a question of stira to Amira to Rav Dimi. Says Gemara Amalei Abayi says 1 second. Ella Zar Mashus Lo. Good Yiddish answer. He answered the question with the question. So what is he? He doesn't wear four. He doesn't wear eight. Is he not a kain anymore? Meshuach Melchama gets downgraded somehow to being a zar. He's not a kain. If he's not wearing four, he's not wearing eight. He's not wearing any big tikuna. What is he? Ella. What must be the pshat? Kain Gadol, really he should wear eight like a Kain Gadol. And Mishim Eva, Alts Eva, he doesn't wear eight because it's going to cause some animosity between him and the Kain Gadol. The Kain Gadol is going to get a little bit of status pressure when there's someone else wearing eight Begadim like him. And why doesn't he wear a Kain Hedit? That's a separate reason. Kain Hedit doesn't wear four like Kain Hedit. Let him not wear eight, let him wear four because that's below his Madrega. Mishim Mal Makedish Lemeridin, we go up in Kedusha and we don't go down. Here's the Taisa Shanim. I was thinking of Taisa Shanim, I was a little bothered. Why do we have to come out to Lashon Mal Makedish Lemeridin? Mal Makedish Lemeridin means a person that once was wearing eight. Like, let's say, a Kain Shavar, a Kain Gadol that wasn't well, a Kain Gadol, another one took his place, was wearing Shemayna Begadim. The original Kain Gadol comes back, gets back his job, of course, and then the second Kain Gadol is Nishta Nishtaher. He doesn't go back to wearing four Begadim because that's the idea of Malam Kesh Lamaridin. You don't go down Kedusha, since he once was a Kain that served as Kain Gadol, he won't go down in his status. Over here, ask Taisi Shanim, it's very shred. They should have to come out the reason of Malam Kesh Lamaridin. They might simply just say, he's a Meshuach Melchama, Meshuach Melchama wears eight Begadim. Especially if we're going with Dimi. Rav Dimi says Meshuach Melchama wears eight Begadim. So that's why he wouldn't wear four. Four is not an option because he's being Mechusa Begadim. As a fact, the Taisi Shanim, okay, but either way, the Gemara is defending Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi's memory was that a Kain Meshuach Melchama wears eight begadim. We had a cash for the Bryce that says he does not wear four or eight. And the Gemara's answer ultimately is fairly simple. He really does wear eight. Really, he wears eight. There's a technical reason why we wear eight. You know why? Because Alts Ava. You don't want to create Ava. You don't want to create a little bit of a peer pressure with the Kain Gadol, so he doesn't wear eight. Agav once doesn't wear eight. He doesn't wear four either. But the point is, he's really on a derice level, on a biblical level, he's supposed to wear eight. He doesn't because of Ava. So if Dimi's memory is true, And the Braisa is true. Asks, and we're going to have the same, this sacrifice is going to stick throughout the Amma, this idea that really he's supposed to be aid according to Avdimi, but Al Tz'iva, we take it away from him. The question is, so there are Avdimi's members, the Maisa and Anigeya. The Braisa has already spoken well before Avdimi that even if Mashiach Muhammad is supposed to wear eight, he doesn't wear eight because of Ava. So Avdimi's member is still Shver. What's Avdimi coming to tell us that the Mashiach Muhammad wears eight, La Maisa, practically speaking, he doesn't because he has a problem of Ava. So what's the point of his member if it's not Anigeya La Maisa? He's telling us what theoretical din should be, on a derice level din should be. La Maisa, that's not the Halacha answers the Siach Yitzchak. Bringing first the Kasha, Siach Yitzchak says a nice chap, simple teretz, that Enachami, it's only a problem when there's a Kohen Gadol. Ava is only a problem when there's a Kohen Gadol, that you're concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to feel a pressure for someone else to make Shemana Begadim. What if the Kohen Gadol died and Abachi passed away and we didn't find a replacement yet? In the interim, while there's no replacement, the Mashiach Chama would be able to wear Eipa Gadim. Meaning Rav Dimi's din is true. Rav Dimi's din is that he wears Eipa Gadim, and it's relevant in scenarios where for some reason there is no problem of Eva. Typically there's a problem of Eva, and therefore it wouldn't be relevant. But there are cases where there's no problem of Eva, and therefore it would be relevant. So we have to touch the Bryce is talking about the standard. The concern with this Eva when a Kohen Gadol is in place. And Rav Dimi, the Amayir, was speaking out about Lamaisa in a case, where there is no Ava to worry about because there's no Kohen Gadol, you would be able to have the Mashiach Chama would be able to wear Shemayim Begadim, and the Shir actually is, but his obligation is to wear 8 Begadim and not 4. Okay, so that's more another Kasha. Amalei Rav Adabrav Abba L'Rava Vaitan Les Ava. One second, you're telling me that because of Ava, that's why you're not wearing Shemana Begadim, but otherwise the Kohen Mashiach Chama, like Rav Dimi says, would wear Shemana Begadim. But says Rav Adabrava, I have a Tana who doesn't hold an Eva. We're going to show very clearly he's not Machmir an Eva because we'll just speak outside what the focus is. The Brisa is going to focus on you have a Kohen Gadol who is servicing. He is temporarily incapacitated. He wasn't able to avoid that someone else took his place. That person became a Kohen Gadol. When that person, the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, when he gives back the position back to the original Kohen Gadol, he still, we just mentioned this before, he still wears the Shemana Begadim. Clearly this Braisa, this Tana is not worried about Eva. How do you have another Kohen Gadol walk around with Shemana Begadim? That should create Eva. Clearly the Tana of this Braisa is not worried about Eva. And yet the Tana of the Braisa is going to say that the Kohen Sha'avar, the Kohen that lost the position back to the original Kohen Gadol, he wears Shemana Begadim. But a Mashiach Muhammad does not wear Shemana Begadim. Now don't tell me it's because of Ava, like you're saying till now, because he doesn't care about Ava, because he lets the Kohen Gadol that was temporary, he lets him to continue wearing Shemana Begadim. Obviously this Tana is not concerned about Ava, yet he still says that the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad only wears 4 Begadim. It's a Shtar Kakasha on Rav Dimi. So it's a long, the Braisa is quite a long Braisa, but I just wanted to speak out outside the synopsis of the question. Let's see it inside. Says the Gemara. Vaitan Lesley Eva, you have this following Tana, says Rav Adrav to Rava, who doesn't hold of Eva. He's not concerned about Eva, Vilei Mekam Mishamish, and yet the Mashiach Mechama, according to him, does not wear Eva Gadim. What do we see? This is the Taimon to the Braisa as follows. The Chilukim first between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedid are as follows. They take out the gear, so Rash takes it out, the Gain takes it out, the first for three words. So let's skip to Pyra Bal Kamitzvahs, the Param Dabash Tzibar, Pyram Kippurim, the Pyram Kippur. These are only brought by the Kain Gadol, not by the Kain Hedit. Asiris Eif for the daily Mincha, the daily Mincha of Asiris Eif is brought only by the Kain Gadol, not by a Kain Hedit. Furthermore, a Kain Gadol, when he's in mourning, he doesn't do Priya, doesn't leave his hair to grow long. Vilei Pyram, he doesn't tear his Begadim. He does, we'll see in a second. Aval Pyram Umamata. He doesn't tear, typically, when a person is mourning, he tears the Begad from up high, from the upper, topper part of the top, from a part of the Begad towards the top. Whereas a Kain Gadol, he doesn't rend his Begadim from the top, he rends it from the bottom, from the hem towards the bottom, from below. Okay. Vahedjit, Mamala, whereas the Hedjit tears the Begad from above. So all these things apply to Kain Gadol, not to Kain Hedjit. Namely, a Kain Hedjit cannot bring a Pyram Levish Tzibar, cannot bring the Pyram Kippur, cannot just use Eifa. He does let his hair grow long in mourning, and he could rip his begadim in mourning from the top. Kohen Gadol has the opposite in all those dinim. The aim of the crave of a Kohen Gadol cannot be matam to even to his relatives. A Kohen Hedid, we know, is allowed to be matam, right in the beginning of Parshas Emor, to the seven closest relative. Kohen Gadol cannot be matam to anyone besides for a Meis Mitzvah. Kohen Gadol can be matam for Meis Mitzvah, but other than a Meis Mitzvah, he can't be matam to any of his, even the seven closest relatives. Umitzvah Basula. Furthermore, Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah to marry positively, to marry a Basula. Umuzah Almana, and there's an Isser from to marry an Almana. Umachzias Ritzeach, and the death of a Kohen Gadol, it allows a Ritzeach to go free from Galos. That's the Ritzrim go free when a Kohen Gadol dies. Umakrif Einan, Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makrif a carbon when he's Einan, as opposed to Kenegev, he cannot. Ve'ena Eichel, however, even a Kohen Gadol, he cannot partake from a carbon when he's an Einan. Ve'ena Eichelik, nor does he take a portion when he's an Einan. However, we had this earlier in this Pesachta, Neitachel Pereish, Kohen Gadol gets to take first portion, even though they had payasas, and they used to have draws, and lots to give out the proper, to give out the rights to the Avodah, and to give out, even within a Beis Av, within a Mishmer, and even to give out the portions, they used to have, to draw these lotteries. The Kohen Gadol can just come in, scoop in, and do any Avodah he wants. Neitachel Pereish, he gets the first portion. And he gets the first choice about what he wants to be makriv. And he uses 8 begadim when he's kalim over here, means begadim. He uses 8 begadim when he does avoda, as opposed to a kohen gadol that only has 4 begadim. And there's a special din that a kohen gadol that accidentally comes to the mishpatuma, he's actually pater. You don't have to bring the typical carbon that has to be brought to kohen gadol. He's pater on tumas mikdash dashav b'chol avodas yom kippurim and ksheres elabai. And all avodas yom kippur only kosher with the kohen gadol. That was a list of roughly 15. I would say somewhere between 10 and 15 items on account. Somewhere between 10 and 15 items that are unique to the kohen gadol versus the kohen head. The differences between the kohen gadol and the kohen head. That's the first part of the brisa. Let's just focus for 15 seconds on that last line. Kol avodas yom kippurim is ar masechta. Kol avodas yom kippurim ain't ksheres elabai. All avodas yom kippur only kosher with the kohen gadol. This is a chazara. We spoke in this machlekes as early back as Av Beis. Gimel, maybe, I think it's the phase. We spoke it out also in the, throughout the Masechta when we spotted the start of the second packet, it was with the Payasas, that there's a fundamental machlokes already in the Rishonim. When we say all Avodas Yom Kippur are kosher only with the Kohen Gadol, does that mean the Avodas that are unique to Yom Kippur, the Avodas that are specifically done in Yom Kippur but are not done all year round? Or does it mean no? Even Avodas that are done all year round, such as Tamish Hashachah, Tamish Ben Abayim, on Yom Kippur, they have to be done by Kohen Gadol. Does the Kohen Gadol only perform the unique avodas to Yom Kippur? Only the ones that have done specifically on Yom Kippur, but not things that are done all year round. That doesn't have to be done by Kohen Gadol. That can be done by another Kohen. Or no, Kohen Gadol does do everything. It's a fundamental machlokes. The Balaam Ar says that everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. Like the simple reading of the word, the simple reading of the words, V'chol avodas Yom Kippur. Now again, you can teach all the avodas unique to Yom Kippur, but the simple reading is all avodas of Yom Kippur, everything from A to Z is done by the Kohen Gadol, and therefore Balaam Ar says there was no payasas. There wasn't even a lottery to be drawn for the different avodas. For the Tamish Hashachar, you used to have 13 people involved in that pious. No, you don't need a Yom Kippur because it's only being done, everything's being done by the Kohen Gadol. Azayt the Balaam Ar, I, the Paitan, in our Tfilas, in our Nusach, in our Tfilas, the Musaf, on Yom Kippur, we discuss the Seder Avoda. It does mention a pious, it mentions a lottery taking place. Says the Balaam Ar, it's a mistake. The Paitan made a mistake. Unbelievable. The Paitan made a mistake because there's no payasas. All the avodas on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, there's no need to have a lotto, to have a draw. As Zizek Balmar says, the Ramban, Kedarkai, comes and he argues in the Balmar and he says, Chas v'shalom, you're telling me that the authors of the of Payatim, they weren't just more recent people. These were Gainim. They were before, they predated the Rishonim. These authors were G'dalelim. You think they made a mistake with payasas? Number one. Number two, I forget if the Ramban brings this Raya or others, the whole parak discussing payasas is discussing payasas within the Masechta of Yuma. Yes, we know Yuma is a Kachim Dikim Masechta. So far, we're already in the seventh parak, and we've basically been focused on Karbanas and Kachim Dikim Yonim all through. Today, Mirtz Hashem, I'm actually going to start the eighth parak, which finally starts the Chamesh Inuyim. What we think about when we think about Yom Kippur, which is the fasting and the other Inuyim, right? The five where we refrain from washing one's hands and feet and anointing oneself and Hashem Shemitah, wearing shoes. But the point is, most of Masechta does deal with Kachim, granted, but the point is, it deals with Yom Kippur. Why are the payasas, the lotteries here, if they're not negated to Yom Kippur at all? It'll be interesting to be a whole parak about lottery if they're not negated to Yom Kippur. It's possible, but it's not Mestavr, says Rabban Adraba. The Payatim didn't get it wrong. The Mishnah didn't, the Masechta didn't get it wrong by putting in a parak about Payasas. Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does Avodah specifically of Yom Kippur, is what he has to. Maybe he does it all, but he's not Mechuyiv to have, you're not Mechuyiv to have Kohen Gadol do all the Avodahs. The Avodahs that Mechuyiv to have Kohen Gadol do are the ones that are unique to Yom Kippur. The Avodahs that are daily Avodahs that happen to be being done on Yom Kippur as well, those could be done by other Kohanim, and therefore for those there would be a pious. And therefore that's what the Pious is referred to, and that's why our Mishnah, our Masechta, brings a parak in about Piyasas, very fundamental Machlekes, Ramban and Balmar. But again, getting back to our focus. Our focus of here is trying to prove that this Tana does not hold, he's not concerned about Eva, and yet he still holds that a Meshuch Muhammad doesn't marry Shemini Begadim, he only missed 4 Begadim, which is going to be a question of Dimi. So far in this price we've established a whole bunch of Chalukim, a dozen or so chalukim between a kohen head and a kohen gadol, Vaiter and the Breisa. The Kula Naigis ben Rubab Gadim. Now, all these halachas apply, Sai to a kohen gadol that became about via Mashicha with anointed oil, Sai where they came about via Rubab Gadim by wearing the shemar begadim. Chutz mepar abak mitzvahs. There's one that's not negeya unless there's mashicha. Only by kagod la mashicha with the anointing oil is he able to bring a parah dov shatzibur. If he became kagod la via just wearing the shemar begadim, then he does not bring a parah dov shatzibur. Okay, v'kula noigus b'shuach shaver. Here is the part that we need to start establishing our proof. All these things are negeya. All these things that we spoke about kain gadol apply equally to mashuach shaver. A kain gadol that was temporary, that was really means a kain gadol who's been retired. So he can be retired for two reasons. Either he got too old to the Aveda, he can't do the Aveda regularly anymore, someone took his place, so he's mamish fully retired. Or the kain gadol was injured or something was wrong with him, his tame, some issue that he was temporarily out of service, someone else took over temporarily, then the kain gadol comes back. The one that was the temp replacement, now he's mashuach shavar. Says the Braisa, he has all the same dinim except for the following. He has all the same dinim, including Shemayna Begadim. He has all the same dinim, Chutz Beparim Kippurim, Vasius Eif, except for the Parim Kippur. And Vasius Eif, of course, only the Kohen Gadol, who's acting right now as a Kohen Gadol, can do those. The Chayr Parim Kippurim is a symbol of all the Vasim Kippur Pashtas. Only the Kohen Gadol can do the acting, the Kohen Gadol's acting right now can do it, not the one that was used to be a Kohen Gadol. The Kula and now. So we've established that Kohen Gadol that's out of service now, but he was a Kohen Gadol, he still wears Shemayna Begadim, he still has all the other dinim of Kohen Gadol, and we're not concerned about Eva. Okay, that's what this Tana is not worried. He's not worried about animosity. Now look at the next line. And all these things are not noyeg by Mishul Chama. Mishul Chama does not have these dinim like a Kohen Gadol, including the Shemayna Begadim. He does not have that din, except for he does have the following five dinim. Except for the five things that were said in that parsha, such as leparea, leparem, the din of not letting his hair grow long of Kohen Gadol applies to Mishul Chama as well. The Mishul Chama, the leader for war, leparem, he doesn't rend his begadim. Certainly not from on top, maybe from bottom. V'leim etam lekrevi, he cannot come with no tummy that's craving. And umitzava al basula, he has a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah to marry basula. Umuzza al amana, he has an iser to marry an amana. And lastly, we have machlekes about the last din. Umachzer tzeach divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chamar me'in machzer. And there's machlekes Rabban Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not he's machzer tzeach, whether his death allows the tzeach to leave the armikla or not, that is a subject of a dispute between chacham and Yehuda. But the point is, very clearly, the kamishal chacham is not like a kain gadol for many matters, including whatever's on this list of five, including begadim. He does not wear shemayna begadim, and yet this time he's not worried about animosity, Eva, and he's still not giving him shemayna begadim. L'chayr, it's a riot against Rav Dimi, says the Gemara. Ki les le'eva, when a kohen gadol doesn't have Eva, k'dik v'kavasei. But the zutimine is le, very interesting. The Gemara wants to say a svara, to defend Rav Dimi, that a kohen gadol has no Eva from a kohen gadol like him. A kohen gadol that worked as a kohen gadol and then retired. Or he worked as a temp to replace the kohen gadol when the kohen gadol was out of commission. So that other kain gadol is really on the same level as kain gadol. He has no animosity. I could have thought opposite, but we see he has no eva towards the other person because that other person was a kain gadol like him, and therefore he has no eva. Eva only develops when there's someone who's not really on his level, like the mishul b'chama, which is a level below, and he's still being shmarim begadim. That creates more eva. Mamish could have heard as far exactly opposite, that when it's someone who's fit to be in this position, that's a little more challenging. That could be a little more that could put a little more heat on, a little more peer pressure. Someone's not fit to be in the position, or someone is not in the same adrig anyway. Mishul b'chama maybe would be less of an issue. Again, Agamar takes the opposite approach to defend Rav Dimi. Again, so defending Rav Dimi, that was saying that of course the halacha is that the Mishul Chama wears Shemayna Begadim, he wears Eip Begadim. Why is he now wearing Eip Begadim? Sign this price, sign the prior price, because of Eva. Because of Eva, it's going to cause an animosity to Kohen Gadol. This price alone has another kain, a kain that was temp, who's no longer Kohen Gadol, allowing him to wear Shemayna Begadim, and that doesn't cause Eva, so why is this different? It's different because other Kohen Gadol is on the same level, whereas the Mishul Chama is not on the same level, so we've successfully defended Rav Dimi's position. Now, actually, let's read the next few lines, and then we'll come back and speak out a couple of quick points. Yasser Ravavo, the Kamar Lahashmaita Ravavo, was saying over this memra, meaning from Rav Dimi, that a Kayan Meshuch Mechama wears Eip Gadim. He said Meshmeit Rav Yechanan. He said over this memra from Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yechanan, Adrin Rav Ami Ravasi Apayo. Rav Ami Ravasi turned the face away, meaning they didn't agree, they disapproved, they didn't agree that Rav Yechanan says such a memra that the Meshuch Mechama wears Shmeit Begadim. Instead of arguing outright, they just turned their face away to show that they don't really approve of that statement. Some have the version with different people. Igadarmi was Rav Chiba Abba. Rav Chiba Abba is the one that said the statement. But again, same as again said in front of Amir Vasi. And again, they turned their face away. Same outcome. But the question is, who was it? Was it Rav Chiba Abba who authored it, or was it Rav Avo who authored it? Says Gemara, the fact that Rav Amir Vasi simply turned their head away and didn't openly just dispute it and say it's not true. Rebbechlin wouldn't assess the thing. It must be, it makes sense that it's Revo. Because Revo was from a family, Revo was well respected by the Malchus. So they had a little bit of a fear to argue Revo because he was well accepted by the Malchus. He had an aura of Malchus to him, and therefore they would, instead of arguing outright, they would turn their face away. But if it was Rechib Rabba, why would they turn their face away? Why would they argue outright? It must be the first version of the events is the correct one, and not the second. Let's see it inside. Maskar of Papa, Bishlam Revo. If it was the story came from Revo, then it's understandable where Ami Abasi didn't explicitly argue. They just turned their face away. Mishum Yakar Beis Kezer. Else the Yakar, the preciousness of the Beis Kezer, meaning Rav Avoh was held in the Caesar's house with great esteem, and therefore they don't want to mess. They want to extend to him proper covet. Eller Rechib Abba. Namely, Meimer. Rechib Rabba, let Rami Asi tell Rami Asi with the Gedei Odor. Let them tell Rechib Rabba that what you're saying in Rabbi Echran is simply not incorrect. Why did they just turn their face away? Wouldn't make sense. Let Amar Rabbi Echran, Hachi, why did they say explicitly Rabbi Echran say this? The fact that they did it is an indication that the story must have, they both have the same version of the story, that they just turned their face away and didn't say anything. It must be the story Taka happened indeed with Rabbi Avoh and not with Rav. Okay, now a couple of quick points. First of all, there's a Shmaka question for Tesvis. The Gemara Makkos, it's the only taste on the page. The Gemara Makkos tells us that we know the person who kills by mistake, he goes to Golos. And when does he go free? When the Kohen Gadol dies. That's when the mothers of the Kohen Gadol used to give food to the people in Golos in order that they shouldn't be davening, the Kohen Gadol should die. They want to curry favor and they should you know, be in favor of the Kohen Gadol living, even though it means them being restricted in Golos. Okay, but the Mishnah over there says, the Gemara says in Makkos Taf Yud Aleph, it discusses that a Kohen Gadol kills, or a person who chalila kills accidentally the Kohen Gadol, he's stuck. Because a regular person goes into, he committed a murder, Nebuch, he goes into Golos, and when the Kohen Gadol, who's right now, has status of Kohen Gadol, when that Kohen Gadol dies, he goes free. But essentially, one who kills the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol himself who kills, l'chari, he can never go free because there's no Kohen Gadol to free him. Either Kohen Gadol is dead, or he himself is the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, he never has an eight. So that is the din, the Gemara brings the Makkos Taf Yud Aleph, and it's brought elsewhere as well in Sanhedrin, asks Tesis Bam Kasha. We see very clearly in our Gemara, in our Brisa, we're saying all the dinim apply, not just to the Kohen Gadol, but also to the Kohen Gadol She'avar, a Kohen Gadol that was temporary Kohen Gadol, din applies for him too, and even Meshuch Mechama, when Mechleikus, and Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, but according to Rebbe Yehuda, a Meshuch Mechama also, if he dies, sets the Ritzeach free. And certainly Kohen Gadol She'avar sets the Ritzeach free. So what are you telling me? There's no Eitzah, the Kohen Gadol She'avar, or the Mishul Chama should be able to set the Kohen Gadol, should be able to set the Ritzeach free upon their death. Very shtaker kasha from Tesis. Tesis gives a couple of answers. Tesis says, one answer is that perhaps the Kohen Gadol, other people could rely on the Kohen Gadol dying, or the Meshuch Mechama, or the Kohen Gadol She'avar, Kohen Gadol who's a temporary, he could rely on all those. A Kohen Gadol himself cannot rely, because he himself is the position, he's the essence, he's the Kohen Gadol, he cannot rely on the secondary Kohen Gadol, or Meshuch Mechama, dying to go free. That's one Svar Taisa. Or Taisa says, a practical scenario, that the Enechami, had there been a Meshuch Mechama, had there been a Kohen Gadol that was temp, that is no longer practicing, but he still has that status. In those cases, those people that killed, someone who killed the Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol that killed, he'd be able to go free with the death of the Meshuch Mechama, or the death of the Kohen Gadol She'avar. We're talking about a case, which is very common, that there wasn't any of those. There wasn't a Meshuch Mechama, there wasn't a Kohen Gadol She'avar, since those other positions didn't exist, meaning there was no one appointed to those positions at the time. That's when it's very relevant that the Kohen Gadol who kills or who gets killed, the person who kills him will not be able to ever go free from the Aron Miklat. So the answer really, the second answer is Enechami. Those would be a ticket out, but we're talking about a case where the ticket out, that ticket didn't exist. Along those lines, we've got saying that there's no Meshuch Mechama, so there is a very interesting Mechinech. The Chinech wants to say that L'chaira, once we no longer have Meshicha, right, Meshicha, Meshuch Mechama, once you no longer Meshicha with oil, which we said was buried after the first place of Middash, we discussed it earlier in the Sechta, the Aron was buried, the Luchas, the Aron, the Tzitzenes Haman, the stick of Aron, right? We said all these things were buried, as was the anointing oil was buried. Once it was buried, so we said, what are the three, there's actually three ways, we said two in our Gemara, there's three ways for Kohen Gadol to be established as a Kohen Gadol. Meshuach, being anointed with oils, which were already gone by the second Mishmeidish. Meruba Begadim, to wear Shemayna Begadim, and that demonstrates the status as Kohen Gadol, wearing a Begadim, or actually performing Avaida. The actual performance of Avaida as a Kohen Gadol, that also being Mechanech himself with Avaida of Kohen Gadol, that also would service as a way to establish him as Kohen Gadol. So he still had two ways, even without oil, to make him Kohen Gadol, either adding Begadim or doing an Avaida. Says the Chinuch, if you hold that, like we're saying, that he doesn't wear Shemayna Begadim, if you hold that, like this Braisa seems to hold, at least in the Havmina knowledge of Dimi, that Meshuach Chama does not have Shemarim Begadim. Meshuach, the anointing oil is gone. The Shemarim Begadim is not an option. And it says something interesting, that Bishlam, when the Kaigal does Avaida, the Avaida is Mechanachim, his Avaida makes him Mechunach. But the Meshuach Chama, what Avaida does he do? He doesn't do Avaida. He gets up and he gives a speech to the nation and he weeds out, you know, Misha Banabayas Chadash, Misha, whoever had started a new business, right? But the point is, he's not really doing an Avaida. That speech, that position, that action would not be enough, says the Chinuch, to establish him as Meshuach Chama. And therefore, he says the Chayre, after the first base of English, there no longer were proper Meshuach Chamas anymore. Interesting Chiddush. Aye, there's references that there were. He says, that was just token. It wasn't real Meshuach Chama because you're not able to even establish the position once you no longer have Shemayna Begadim or the anointing oil. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Kiasa, this is really going to take us to the next part of the conversation. Kiasa Ravin, Amar Ravin came, he said, from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Nishal Itmar, the Lachab of the Kain Gadol. That we said, the Meshuach B'chama wears a begadim. It was discussed when we were talking about going to ask questions from the Urim V'Tumim. That's what it's talking about. Not Stam in general, the Meshuach B'chama wears a begadim. It was Legabe the Urim V'Tumim. Tanah Vachri Taka V'Braisa, begadim, Kain Gadol Meshamish Behem, Meshuach B'chama Nish Behem. The begadim of the Kain Gadol is Meshamish that he uses normally, the begadim. The Meshuach B'chama, that is the same begadim that Meshuach Chama wears when he consults the Urim V'Tumim, when he himself consults the Urim V'Tumim. That's the begad, the begadim that he wears, but dafka then. So it's a little bit of a tweak. It's not that the Meshuach Chama always wears a begadim. It's specifically when it comes to shayla, asking shayla from the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, Tanarban, now we're going to focus actually from here to the rest of the parak, essentially, on the Urim V'Tumim. Tanarban, Ketzah Shayla, the Urim V'Tumim again was a special power. It's not exactly what it was. Pashas, it was a parchment. We'll maybe speak more about it later, or if enough time, maybe be in tomorrow's year. But the Urim V'Tumim was essentially like a parchment which had different things written on it, and it would cause, the Kohen Gadol would have it somewhere on either the Chesh or the Ephod, and you'd ask it questions, and it would cause the letters to light up and form words. We'll see exactly more about that in the Gemara coming up. To form words to give an answer to the questions. That's what is a special power. So Ketzah Shailin, how do they ask questions of the Urim V'Tumim? Hashel upon of Kapi Nishal. The Shail, his face is Kapi Nishal. So the way Rashi explains this to mean the simple. The Shail is facing the Nishal, the face-to-face. And which way is the Nishal facing? The Nishal upon of Kapi Shechina. And the Nishal's face goes, so the Shechina, what does Shechina mean in this context? According to Rashi, it means the Urim V'Tumim on his body, on his being. He looks down towards the Urim V'Tumim on his being. That is Rashi's Malach. Rambam argues, Rambam learns that the Nishal, when we say the Shail, the Nishal, the one who's being asked, is the Kohen Gadol, is facing the Shechina, means he's facing the Aron. So he's facing the Aron, he's facing the Kodesh Kedashim, he's facing the Aron. And when we say that the Shail is asking, is facing the Nishal, it's really facing his back. He faces the back of the Kohen Gadol, who himself is facing the Aron. That's how the Rambam learns. Again, Klape is a little bit interesting. It's Klape, I guess, would be different than Kinegan. Klape is a little interesting. Klape would sound like it's facing according to Rambam. Yes, he's facing, but he's facing the back of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, Hashan Aimer. The Shel says, "Erdav Akra Gedul Hazeh, should I go pursue this army? Should I go pursue these troops?" And the initial says, "Kayamar Hashem Alav Nevatzayach." Hashem said, "Yes, go up, and you'll be Matzayach." This is actually quoting from a story that David had asked the Urim V'Tumim, David Melech, and that was the response, right? In Malachim Aleph. So Erdav Achar Gedul Hazeh, the initial Aimer, "Yes, Kayamar Hashem Alav Nevatzayach." Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, "Ain Tzarich Lemer Kayamar Hashem." The Shail, the initial, doesn't have to answer, so says Hashem, it's obvious. If the answer is popping up from the Urim V'Tumim, it's obviously it's coming from Hashem. You don't have to say, Kayam Hashem. You just say, Alev Etzleach, yes, go up and you'll be successful. Just repeat over what the message from the Urim V'Tumim is, and it's clear that message comes from Hashem. Ain't Shailin, but Kayal, you don't ask in a loud voice, Shem V'Shalay, it says V'Shalay, ask him, ask him, like, only that he can hear. V'Leim Har, believe it, but you don't just think about it and expect an answer. You have to verbalize it. Shemar v'shalai. El kederach she'amra chana b'tfilas. Just like chana in her tefillah, right? In tefillas chana, we have that she was with. She was moving her lips, but it wasn't heard to the masses. It wasn't heard to the people. Eli kaneir. Shemar v'inei he midbaras aliba. She's talking, speaking with her heart, speaking with her heart meant that she was saying the words, but it wasn't audible to people around her. But it was audible to herself. We learn out the dinim of how we davish b'nesrei. We're supposed to davish b'nesrei in such a manner. We davish b'nesrei in that type of manner where we. Verbalize the words, it's audible to us, but not to the people around us. It's supposed to be, it can actually be quite disturbing when the Shemaneh is loud enough and it's audible to the people around us. Okay, so says Says the Gemara, that is the level that one's supposed to speak to the Urim Tumim. Ain't shall neshed rav gechad. You don't ask for two items at the same time. Vim shall ein machzir al echad. And even if one does, he will not get a response to both. Rather, get a response only to one. Vim machzir al elamisha. Which one is it? The first. He gets a response only to the first request. So if he's only supposed to ask one request, not two. If he it's two, he only get a response to one, namely the first one. Shen nemar. And it's gonna be a little bit of a kasha. Shen nemar hayes runi bali kalia. B'yadei hayeret shol. David HaMelech asks, will the people of Kliya, when he's running from Shaul HaMelech, will they deliver me into the hand of Shaul? Deliver me and my people back in the hands of Shaul? That was question A. And question B was, also, will Shaul himself come to send down? And what Hashem answered him? Hashem answered, yes, he'll descend. So we see that he has two questions, and Akash Baruch Hu answered, the two Urim V'Tumim answered, only one. But the problem is, it was the second question that we said before, that he answers, if he has two questions, he answers the first. Over here, Urim V'Tumim answered the second. V'ha'amrit, emachzir al-Rishon, you said only answer the first, and over here, answer the second question, answered about coming down. Answers the Gemara, David Shaul, top of Amud Beis. Shalaika say the Dover really asked out of order. V'chzulaika say the Dover really asked out of order, and he got a response to the question that should have been asked first. V'kivish yada shashol. Shalaika say there, once he understood that he'd asked incorrectly, so Chazav Shal could say that then one asked in the proper order. Shinemai, his pure Bali Kliya, Isi, Ves Anchi, Biat Shal, Vayem Hashem Eskiru. Then David said, will the leaders of Kliya give me over to the hands of, and my people, give me over to the hands of Shal? And Hashem said, yes. He will deliver. So after David asked, like Seder, meaning the first question would be, is Shaul coming here, Bechal? And the answer to that was, yes, he's coming. So Akash Baruch Hu answered the Urim V'Tumim question first. That was the second question, but that question should have been asked first, and it was answered first. And once that was answered, David HaMelech reiterated and said, am I going to be given over, and my people, with Kliya, give me and my people over to Shaul? And the answer was, yes, they will. If the matter is urgent and it needs two quick responses, then it's justified, and you will get an answer for both. Immediately, what's the source of that shemar? Vishal David Bashem Lamar Erdif Achre Geduda Zeh. We actually quoted that before. Hasagenu, should I pursue this troop? Will I overtake them? Vayemer Loi Kosh Baruch Hu said, Rodayf Kiyasa Tasik Vatzel Tatzel. Yes, pursue them. You're going to be successful. You'll overtake them and you will rescue. Fabish Gezeris Navi Chizeris says the Gemara, even though we have a klal that the Gezer Benavi can go back, Rashi explains what's a classic example of that is by Yaina Ben Amitai. There's a Gezer about Nineveh being wiped out, yet they did tshuva. If they do tshuva, there was a way out, and even though the Gezer was already spoken out, the Gezer could be undone. So a Gezer that's spoken out by a Navi can be undone. However, says the Gemara, Gezer Uvim V'Tumim Le'ena Chizeris, a Gezer from the Uvim V'Tumim will not be undone. Shenemar B'Mishpat Urim, Urim. The Mishpat Urim sounds like it's a fact. It's irreversible. Lamanek Hashemai Urim Tumim. Why is it called Urim Tumim? Urim Shemim Estevayim. Urim because their words light up. Tumim Shemashlim Estevayim. They complete their words. Like we just said a minute ago, their predictions always come to fruition. There's no going back. From time of Bigvus B'Yamin, Mebnei Malos Shleishlimu. By the Plagish Begiven, by Givus B'Yamin, they asked if they should go fight. One day, yes, they went fight and they lost. They went and asked again. And they said, yes, they went fight, and they lost. And by the third day, they said, should we go fight and we'll be successful? And then it was, yes, go fight. And they were successful by the third day. But the first 2 days, seemingly, they were told to go fight and they lost. Says the Gemara, why wasn't the Urim V'Tumim's prediction fulfilled? So the Gemara says very simple. They never asked if they'd be successful. They waited until the third day. The first 2 days they asked, should we go to war? Answer is yes. And they were deserving that some of the people would die in battle as well. So they were told to go to war, knowing the Urim V'Tumim wasn't telling them to be successful, go to war and suffer the consequences. Day one, day two, day three, they asked them to be successful, and the answer was yes. At this point, they're ready to go to war and be successful. When they asked about being successful, over there, the Urim V'Tumim did say exactly what's going to happen. Will I be successful or not? To Emir Hashem, Alu, Ki Machar, Hashem said, through the Urim V'Tumim, go up, because tomorrow you'll attack, they'll be delivered into your hands, tomorrow you'll be successful. Case Anastas, how is the Urim V'Tumim done? How does he give off the answer? Machlekes Rechonam Rebeltais, the letters protrude, the letters pop out to spell out the answer. Shakash Aimer, the star face. So it seems to be Machlekes where the letters just stick out and then you have to piecemeal the letters together to form the words. Or Rishlakish seems to be saying that the words form, the letters form the response. They actually form the words together. Fact Gemara, but the letters that we know of on the Kohen Gadol's breastplate are the letters of the Shvatim's names. Ruvain, right? Ruvain through all the Shvatim, if you got Menashe, Ephraim, all through all the Shvatim. So you have 12 Shvatim, you don't have the letter Tzadi. For like Sivat Tzadi, in the 12 Shvatim's name, missing the letter Tzadi, the Gain 16, you're also missing the letter Ches, and you're missing the letter Kuf. You're missing Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf. Amar Shubai Yitzchak, where ironically enough, he has three of those letters, Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf, in his name, Yitzchak. You add Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Ksiv Sham. It doesn't just say the Shvatim's names. It says the shame is the Avos Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov, and clearly in the name Yitzchak, you have the letters that we needed, the missing letters of Ches, Kuf, and Sadi, that the Gemara was referring to. All those letters are included now in the Urim V'Tumim. In fact, Gemara, you're still missing a letter. Halei Ksef Tess with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and the Shvatim names. You're still missing Tess. Says Gemara, Achav Yaakov Shiftei Yishurin Ksef Shem. It says after the Shvatim names, it says Shiftei Yishurin. The test of Shiftei Yishurin gives us the test that we need. Ask the Gemara, Kasha on both Rebbechon and Mish Lakish. Meisvei Kaka and Sheinim Medaber Meruchedesh Ushchin Shari Alav Ein Shalom Bay Shari Shal Tzadik Vaalsloy Ev Yasvay Alsloy. We see Tzadik asked the Urim V'Tumim and he was answered. Ev Yasser asked and he wasn't answered. Shnei Rabbi Yasser Ad Taim Kol Am. He went up until the entire Am had been finished. The point is that only we're learning from here. Only a tzaddik who was a navi, who had ruach hakodesh, I should say, had ruach hakodesh. Only he could successfully ask for the Urim V'Tumim. Whereas if Yasser didn't have ruach hakodesh, he was not successful in asking the Urim V'Tumim. But if you tell me like Reish Lakish says, or like Reish Lakish says, that the letters pop up, they light up, or they protrude, they stick out. So who needs to be ruach hakodesh? Just read the words, read the letters that are sticking out, and through that you'll know the answer. You don't have to be ruach hakodesh. Says the Gemara, see you have Messiah Badayu. The Kain, the little simple taiches, the way they say taiches, the Kain Gadol would help the Urim V'Tumim along. Meaning, when the Kain Gadol had Ruach HaKodesh, that helped the ability, that combination with the Urim V'Tumim, to create an answer, to be able to get an answer. If you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, you won't get the answer in the first place. Yes, once the answer comes, you can just read the letters, read the words, but you won't get the answer in the first place. Now, what's the idea of Ruach HaKodesh helping to get the answer? So Rav Bishanim learned that it's not just Tam, it helps the answer come out. Rav Bishanim learned that what it means is, sorry, Rav Bishanim learned exactly what we just said. That is what it means. That the combination of Ruach HaKodesh and the Kain Gadol creates an ability to even receive a response. That is how Rav Bishanim learned. However, Ramban, very interesting Ramban, which the Gaon uses to say a beautiful pshat back to Chana. The Ramban learns that the pshat is no. Of course, you're always getting, the Urim V'Tumim always have the power to give a response. But even that response, the letters that come up, very often the Hebrew language doesn't have so many words. And many words have the same letters. Many words share the same letters, but the words can have very different, sometimes opposite meanings. Many times you have a different order to the letters will create a completely different word. Says Ramban, the Ruach HaKodesh element was that he asked the Ruach HaKodesh to be able to explain, to be able to touch up how to read the word, the letters into the word. That's what you need the Ruach HaKodesh for. Yes, the Urim V'Tumim will always give you the letters and the words, but how to read it, how to organize the letters, to scramble it, that is what the Ruach HaKodesh part was needed. Says the Gaon with this idea, beautiful. The Gaon says that we know Eli thought the Chana was a shikr. She was moving her lips, we said earlier in the daf, and she wasn't making that much, she wasn't really making noise. She could hear herself, but she wasn't making noise. She thought she was a shikr. Says the Gaon, beautiful, it's much more than that. The Eli saw, when he was trying to figure out what was happening, who this woman was, he saw the letters of shikr. Shin, Chaf, Reish. She saw those letters come up from the Urim V'Tumim. But those same letters actually could also produce kasher. It could produce kasher. It could produce kisara. Kisara, it could produce kash, kshera. Again, what he saw was shikaira, that she's a shikar. But it also could produce kisara, she's lofty like Sarah, or kshera, she's kosher. And that was a mistaken interpretation of the way to read the letters of the Urim V'Tumim popped up. So here's a perfect example of why you women need this idea of Ruach HaKodesh in order to successfully achieve a proper outcome from the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, let's finish the parak and start the Mishnah quickly. Says the Les Gemara Vein Shailin El Melech. We only consult on behalf the Urim V'Tumim, on behalf of Melech or the Head of Sanhedrin or the Mishnah Chama. Says Gemara Nali Midah Miyodes Amarabi Damakra Tofnei Loza Kain Yama Amar Bevo Damakra Tofnei Loza Kain Yamaid V'Shal Leib Mishpat B'Mishpat Haurim. We say who zemelach v'chol ben Yisrael itay zemeshuch b'chama, their first meshuch b'chama. And lastly v'chol Eidus Sanhedrin. This is a reference to the three types of powers that can answer Urim V'Tumim: Sanhedrin, the Meshuch B'chama, or the Melech. Hadrinach Ba'ilai, Mazel Tov, we finished the parak. We finished really the parak. We speak about the Kachem, the Kabbalah's Amad and Kippur. Now we move on to the things that we're more familiar with, the five Inuyim. Let's quickly see the Mishnah that will stop. Select the Mishnah, Yom Kippurim Asr. Yom Kippurim, it's Asr. Bachilu Shtia, it's Asr to eat, to drink, V'chitza, to wash oneself, Sicha, anoyim one's body, Vinyas a sandal, wearing shoes, Tash Vashemit, and of course, relations, are all these things are Asr. Big Machlekes, fundamental Machlekes Rishayim. We know Achilu Shtia is clearly Isatira. What about the other four Inuyim? Are those also Asr Taira, or are those only Isatira Banan? The Isatira is only the Inuy of it says one's supposed to be Ma'an and Afshatechim, but that's just eating and drinking. The rest are rabbinic Gezeris, or they're all deraisas. What is a machlekes Teisvis versus Ramban? Teisvis says that only Achilas Shtia is deraisa. Ramban says all five are deraisa. Let's look at the next line and see if we can have a little bit of a raya. Says that Mishnah, the Hamelech v'Akala Yichatzus Peneim There's exceptions. The king and a bride, they can wash their face, and the chaya, one woman that just gave birth, she can wear shoes. Now, if it's all deraisa, a little bit interesting that we're having these exclusions, these kulas. If you learn that the other four are darbanan, it's definitely much easier to understand. Again, when I say kasha, obviously the Ramban knows about this Mishnah. We'll speak more about him in the Gemara. But the point is that this simple reading definitely fits easier, like Tosfos. Okay, says the Mishnah further. Chum say no. Chum say that even these people are aser, which of course that may fit better like Ramban. Ha'aycha b'kavsev is gasa. One who eats the shear of a large date. What's that shear? The large date has a nice to festa pit. So yes, if someone eats the shear of a date with the pit inside, so that whole space, that shear, that's considered shear to be chayev and Yom Kippur. Hashem says, "Malugim of one who drinks cheekful chayev, he's chayev karis kol eichlam besar from the kasevas." And multiple different foods can combine to get that shear of a date. V'chol mashkim besar from the malugimav, and multiple beverages, drinks can combine to get malugimav. However, a half a malugimav and a half a kasevas, that doesn't combine. Ha'eichlam v'sheisa im besarven, we don't combine eating and drinking. That we don't combine. Dafka, it's got to be a full share of eating, full share of drinking. We didn't get involved with whether it's dunka, b'teichas pras. We're just focused now on mixing different foods together and different drinks, different mashka together, and we're saying that is enough to make someone chayim. The Gemara is going to ask, the first words of the Mishnah are, Yom Kippur is usser. Usser's mashmit is an isser. It's much more than that. The end of the Mishnah says pretty clear, it's chayiv. It's a chayiv, it's chayiv karis, much stronger than isser. Why is the Gemara using a weaker lashon? That'll be the first Gemara tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.